there are loads of rumours what's been happening, hundreds of stories, so you're probably the only or one of two persons who can tell me what happened up there. Why did you get attacked?
Why did we get attacked? This is an answer I'm still looking for and searching for. No, the situation, I think it's not...
Good morning.
It was not a personal problem towards our team. I think it's a long-term problem that just was growing in Nepal. And we were just on the wrong time, on the wrong moment, on the wrong place. And it ended up on a verbal fight up on the mountain below Camp 3. This was one thing. And then when we came back to base camp, there were maybe 100 Sherpas trying to attacking us.
But, you know, all over the media they say that the Sherpas thought you were inconsiderate for climbing in front of them to Camp 3. Do you think that was a problem?
To be honest, this is absolutely no problem up there, because we know they were fixing the lines, so we're not touching their lines. We're not wanna get in their way to doing their job. They're here to fixing lines for all commercial expeditions, not for us. We don't need that, but of course we have to leave space for everybody on the mountain. So we went 50 meters to the left, so we not disturb them at all, and we also take care that they're not getting any ice, knocked ice down or whatever. So we did not disturb them at all. But the fact was just, we going up there, this, I think, pissed them off and make them angry, because they were thinking, if they're on the mountain, nobody else can be on the mountain. And I think that was the big problem.
Did you communicate with them whilst you were climbing up to Camp 3? Did you overtake them? Maybe they were upset because they were overtaken?
Of course, they were fixing the whole morning there, and we just climbing 50, 60 meters beside, and we overtake them in about an hour. I think I can understand that creates some problems, some jealousy, I don't know. But we did not having any effect on their work at all.
And then what? And then you went all the way to Camp 3, and then you came down to Camp 2, and what happened?
So maybe we have to finish the story on Camp 3. We had to traverse to our tent, and around 7,100 meter, and in this moment we have to cross them. But there we were really gently, carefully. We were crossing on a snow ledge, so we cannot knock any ice down. And as soon we reached the belay, they just start shouting on us, and there was no way to have a discussion. They were just upset, so they dropped the loads with the rope and said, "We stop, finish fixing," and they wait down. For us, it was one in the afternoon. We're thinking, okay, we felt also bad for the commercial expedition, because these guys are working for them and they should finish the job to and fix to Camp 3. So we felt a little bit bad about that, so we decided to fixing all these ropes to Camp 3. So this job at least is done. And after finish that, we decided we're not staying in Camp 3. We have to go down and solve this problem, because this was a useless discussion. So it's better go down and try to talk to these people and say, hey, what? But the job was done. So
you finished fixing the rope?
Yes.
Okay. How did the Sherpas feel about that?
Maybe that was even worse for the situation. Yeah. But no, we just felt guilty for the commercial expedition, because that's what the Sherpa had to do for them, finish this. So that's why we finished the work. Just to not give any reason to anybody that we disturbed something and we blocked something. So we did not disturb the Sherpas, and as soon as the Sherpas decided not to keep going because we were climbing somewhere else, and they get pissed, we even finished their work. But this maybe was even worse. So we went down, and I mean, what happened in Camp 2, for me, even if there would be any mistake or if there is a mistake on the mountain, what happened in Camp 2, there is no reason any time in life to try to kill three people on a mountain. So.
And were you seriously threatened that they would kill you?
That's what they said. Mm. And the situation got really out of control. Nobody had any power to stop them, not even team leaders. It was just 100 people standing around and hitting us with rocks, and they said they want to kill us.
So how did you protect yourself?
I couldn't protect myself at all. It was Melissa Arnold who saved me the life, because she got between when I got hit. Because if there are 100 people, you cannot fight back if you're three people. So you just can take the beats. That's all you can do. And that's what we did. Simone and Jonathan, they could run away. I was not fast enough.
What?
Yeah. I'm getting slow and old. So I was in a tent and they were away. And so the discussion went on and off for about an hour outside the tent with these 100 Sherpas. There was Melissa and Greg in front, tried to calm them down. But it just came up again, like, give that guy out, we kill that guy, and then we look for the other two. They were hidden somewhere on the glacier. This was going on, and somehow they could manage to calm it a little bit down. We got a solution. Simone had to convince them or apologize about his bad words on the mountain, on his knee. And then they said, they decided, okay, you can leave now the mountain. You have 1 hour time, and you have to be gone. And if you're not gone, we kill all three of us, and you're not supposed to come ever back.
Okay. And you left.
Yeah.
Okay. And for you, I mean, now you've obviously abandoned your expedition. Did you do it because of what the Sherpa said, or just because of your feeling? Is this, you know, is this it for you?
You know, if there are 100 people telling you for a whole afternoon they're gonna kill you, and in these 100 people, there were people summiting last year with me, they were really, I was thinking, they were friends, and they have respect for also to me like I have for them, and then they try to kill you. I think there is no trust anymore at all. So I cannot go back on the mountain, even if now Shira says this will never happen again. They cannot control 100 people. So who tells me they're not cutting my rope, burning my tent or whatever?
And you've been coming to Nepal for many years, and of course, like you just said, you've built up good relationships. I mean, the guy you summited with last year, Tenzing?
Yes.
Yes. Was he one of the mob or...
No. Tenzing is outside here, the tent, and he's one. He's a really good friend. I mean, you know, now for me it's... I mean, there are a lot of emotions, and I have to be careful. I cannot put all in the same pot, but there are a lot in that pot where I cannot trust at all.
But obviously, it always takes two to tango, and it's, you know, of course, the Western world, you know, in the media, they say, you know, why would these 100 people just attack these two guys for having done nothing? I mean, did you provoke them in any way?
No problem. It's like, I think it is a problem, you know, like these people, they're growing here, getting good money. They're the rich people in Nepal, getting a lot of power. But on the other hand, they see all these Westerners, and there is always a gap, you know. They're thinking, okay, we are really, really rich people. Of course, if you look to Nepal, we are rich people, but we have also to work for it. And this creates a kind of a gap, of course. And I think this, you know, what happened up there, this is not just this situation. This is an anger or something that's really, really growing since years between these two worlds. I mean, we have to be honest, you're living in Switzerland, you see the difference between living in Switzerland or in Kathmandu, and this is a gap, and this grows, of course, some jealousy or whatever.
So you think you were a trigger for something that's been brewing?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I think it was not, you know, it was not this situation. It was just a trigger, and it was just this bad moment.
And of course now, I mean, you came down, you flew to Lukle, you came back, you were obviously very shaken by the whole event. And also, I mean, you had a great project together with Simone, what you wanted to do. How are you feeling about that? You know, how are you feeling about leaving the mountain without fulfilling your dream?
See, I mean, you know, this is a... There are a lot of feelings right now. I'm really happy that I'm alive, but of course I feel really, really bad. I mean, they take away my dream. We had a big project. We were a really strong team. Conditions are perfect on the mountain, and I'm 99% sure we would be successful, and this hurts me a lot. But I cannot go back on the mountain. So this whole Sherpa community, they just destroyed my dream. But on the other hand, you have to accept in life that that's life. It's not always nice. Sometimes it doesn't go that way that you like, and you have to accept that. And maybe, you know, this mountain stays longer here than I will be in on that planet, so I can come back again and again. I don't know if I ever will manage again to come back here, but this is reality. And for us, we were a really nice team. We had a good, lot of fun, and I feel really good to know people like Simone, like Jonathan, Melissa, which I think this is the important thing in life, and you have to realize that. If you do Summit or not, okay, it's nice, but it's not going to change life. I think it's more important to have people around, like our team.
Yeah. And then yesterday there was a little ceremony. You came back with a Carter. The BBC wrote they had a peace deal.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? Do you feel that it was genuine? Do you feel that the hatchet has been buried?
You know, to be honest, okay, we just calmed down the situation, but it did not solve the problem. It's just this peace deal. It's just to somehow get out for everybody of this situation. But for me, this is just tasty talking.
So you don't think it was a genuine... Okay.
No, it's just tasty talking. Yeah. It's like, it's not solving any problems, you know. And I mean, we have to make compromise how they solve problems in Nepal. We are in Nepal, not in Switzerland, not in the United States. So we have to do it on their rule. And if you think about how they try to solve something like that, it's unbelievable. It's
And obviously you're a mountain person. You do a lot of stuff on your own in remote areas, and then you come here and you experience something like that. I mean, does it, because you just said maybe you might come back, in a way, has it destroyed a lot of your faith in maybe even in Himalayan climbing, commercial climbing?
Oh, definitely. I mean, for me, this is an experience. This will ever stay in my mind. I have now a new opinion about Mount Everest, about Khumbu Valley. I really love the Khumbu Valley. I've been here like 10 times. But now for me, this is a place I don't need to come back. And in life, it's really easy. You can choose what you want to do. And I don't need to come back here if I don't feel this is a good place for me. There are so many other mountains around. And I don't have to do this game here. So if somebody else wants to do it, they can do. If they want to deal with Sherpas, they can deal with these Sherpas here. I think there are a lot of good people around, there are a lot of nice mountains around. Luckily, I summited once Everest without oxygen. For me, it's not really necessary to come back. And I think it's it's a waste of time in life to do stuff where you're not really feel 100% satisfaction.
Mm-hmm. And two more questions. Obviously, your expedition has been supported by sponsors. Have you got any feedback? Are they understanding, or do you feel pressured through that?
Of course, they have understanding for a situation like that. But on the other hand,
I'd be glad you're still alive.
Yeah, we're living in a Western world, so you not get anything for free. They want to have always a benefit out of it. And now, to be honest, we all three of us, we have to deal with that financial disaster, though. Because we spend a lot of money, and even if we get it from sponsors, they want something for it. And now we have to deal with this. And this will be a shitty period as well. So there is, on one hand, is the bad feelings I have. I have to get over somehow. But you totally understand, even right now, the world turns the same way, the same speed around. You have to manage everything with your sponsors, and you have to keep going. It's that's the game.
Yeah, so you have to keep going. So I suppose you're leaving in the next few days, and then what's next?
For now, I think I'm going to stay a little bit in Europe, in the Alps, where you can climb, nobody going to hit you with a rock, you can do what you want and have your pleasure. And I think it's now very important just to calm down, sort out what happens, figure out what's going on here, make decisions what you want to do. But this needs time, so I just go back and do what I feel it's good. If I go up in the morning, I feel to go paragliding, I go paragliding. If I feel to go rock climbing, I go rock climbing. If I want to go for a run, I go for a run. And I hope time will heal my problems a little bit, and then I will keep moving.